best podcast in the land. From the Hill Podcast with Wayne Cartwright, Damian Green, Tanaris Goody, David Thomas, Jennifer Murray, and Corey Williams. Sit back, relax, and listen.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome once again. Fellas, how we doing tonight?
Doing great, man. Doing great.
Doing great.
Doing good. Ain't complaining.
Man, hey, that Super Bowl was off the charts, man.
Man, it was crazy. I know Corey's happy. You know, his San Francisco, well, not happy, but, you know, his team didn't win, but they played well.
Yeah, they definitely played well, man. Hey, it would remind me of old school football from back in the day with defense, man. Hey, I love seeing that defense.
Right. Yeah. And you know, the whole time, man, like I knew in my heart if Patrick Mahomes had the ball last, he was going to score a touchdown. The key was not to let him get the ball. Once he got it, like, yep, that's ball game.
Hey, man, that was the key. Hey, he get the ball last. Hey, he going to take it down the field.
Right.
Hey, man, I know a lot of people, they was talking about Shanahan with them taking the ball, because remember we was in the group chat before they went to overtime, and I said I thought it was a good move because their defense was on the field. But then when they were going down, I was like, man, they about to get a touchdown, man. I was like, they about to prove it right. And then Chris Jones made that big play up the middle, man, and for some reason, they, you know, the 49ers didn't block them. And, right, you know, had an incompletion and then field goal.
Man, both teams was tired. And you always, the team, you win the toss, you always take the ball second. Because you know as an offense what you got to do.
Yep.
Right. And then I tell you what it liked me were the new postseason overtime rules, where it doesn't matter if the team scored a touchdown or not. The other team does get the opportunity to score a touchdown as well. I like that rule. I think they should implement it through the season. It just makes the game more interesting. They could sell more commercial ads if they do that.
Hey,
you know, man. one of the Niners players at the post game conference, he said he was unaware.
Yeah, and some of them said they didn't even know about the rules.
They didn't even know about the rules.
And I'm like, so what would have happened if they would have scored a touchdown first? They'd have been some fools
getting they won the game.
Like conduct with like 80 people running on the field throwing helmets. They were like, man, y'all get back on the sideline. The game ain't over yet.
Right.
Exactly.
Man, but yeah, it was pretty good, man. And I enjoyed that Usher halftime too, man. Like I said, it kind of started a little bit slow, but man, that sucker just kept going up and up and up, man. Like
I said, the next thing is that it started off slow. Me personally, I'm not a fan of the, you know, ballad, you know, the slow song, but I understand why he did it, you know, specifically for his lady fans. So I understand, but I was like, man, this got to pick up somewhere. And then Jackson State in the halftime show, that was a good addition to that as well. So shout out to them.
Why Wayne, they said you got a pair of them Jermaine Dupri socks.
Man, dude looking like Boss Baby on Easter Sunday.
These are Louis Easter Sunday.
Yeah, and then he posted that they were Louis Vuitton, like we like he's not gonna get janked because they Louis Vuitton.
Yeah, right.
Man, don't nobody care. They still you look like a fool out there, man.
Hey, see, right, man.
See, I'm with you. I don't want to be that rich.
No, I never want to be that rich. It's crazy, man. Crazy.
Yeah, man. But man, it's just crazy to think that I'm 2 months older than Usher. He 45 like me up there moving like he 25.
And then the thing about Usher, man, that's so crazy is that this guy has been doing this since a teenager, man. Like, he's been around that long, and to still be on top of his game. Like, people disagree with me when I said this, but you know, people like to call R. Kelly the king of R&B. I'm giving that crown to Usher. If to me, in my opinion, if R. Kelly would have been still out, I think Usher has taken that by storm, because he can sing and he can dance and he can skate while performing.
Hey, that dude came out, man, when I was a sophomore at A&M in 97. Like, he had an album first at 16.
Right.
But that album in 97, man, with My Way, with Nice that and Slow. And,
yeah.
Yeah. That's when you knew. He was like, okay, this dude's about to be for real.
I just wish he gave more props to Chattanooga, where he from.
Yeah, because that's actually where he's from. And also, he did, Usher out here hugging everybody else's wife, but he did get married in Las Vegas.
Yeah, he did.
He did get married. Usher's a married man now.
Yeah, he is. But yeah, man, so it's all good, man, tonight. So shout out to everybody that's joined us tonight. Just make sure that you hit that like button early and often. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. Follow us on all of our social media handles on Instagram, Facebook, X, and also subscribe to our Spotify and our Apple Podcast. All right, so gentlemen, let's go up tonight with what we got going on. Once again, just letting everybody know, just in case you've been up under a rock somewhere, it is Black History Month. So just as we said last week, make sure you find a publication, do something, attend an event, do something to uplift the Black culture. And yeah, been making history since 1875 at Alabama A&M University with our illustrious president and founder, William Hooper Council. All right, so first I want to start with this. Coming up this Saturday and Sunday, take note of this. You can watch on the SWAC Digital Network on YouTube. Last year, our esteemed buddy, Mo Carter, he was the play-by-play announcer for the SWAC Indoor Championships. All right, down there in Birmingham. Our men and women, this is one of the best teams that they've had in a while. So we expect some big things. So, you know, if you get a few moments on Saturday and Sunday, be sure to check that out. And now, something recent. Corey, you can speak to this one, my brother.
Man. Hey, our A&M Bulldog men basketball team played one of their more complete games and had their biggest victory of the season on Saturday against Grambling State down on the road. So that's a big road win. Really was a big defensive effort from a lot of guys on the team who really stepped up and really stepped it up on defense and rebounding, which really won that game. So I'm very proud of them to dig down deep and beat one of the top teams in the SWAC.
That's right, man. And, you know, and in conjunction with that, here are the men's standings. So as you can see, the victory last night cost Grambling a chance to stay tied for first place in the SWAC. And what it did for us, it kept us in the race, kept us in the fight. It's now created a real big logjam there. So you can see where A&M is. They're sitting there with a tie for that eighth spot. Now, there's still a month of basketball to go. And just so everybody knows, only the top eight teams make it to Birmingham. So with them splitting on the road at Southern, where they played a very admirable game on Saturday, and winning last night, a 1-1 road trip has gotten them at 5-6. Now, they have won four of their last five games to get back in the mix. And so now heading up this weekend, you can see Mississippi Valley State with a zero in the win column. Yeah, we hope that y'all get a win, but make sure y'all get it on Monday night at Alabama State and do not get it on Saturday night at our place. And then UAPB comes in on Monday. All right, so that's where the men sit. So coming up, we'll show you a little bit of the home schedule coming up. But, yes, Saturday at noon for the women and 2:30 p.m. for the men against Mississippi Valley. And then UAPB comes up, and then they head to Florida over next weekend to go back and do the return match against Bethune-Cookman, as you can see, sitting up there in third, and then Florida A&M. And then here's our women's standings. Our women, unfortunately, lost both games on the road this weekend.
Yesterday was horrible. I don't know what.
Yesterday was not very good.
That was not our team.
Jeez. No, it definitely wasn't.
Yeah, so, Grambling took our women to the woodshed last night. And so, with the loss, the women now sit in seventh. They started the road trip in seventh, and they stay in seventh. But as you can see, they're only one game up on, you know, Texas Southern, which is nipping at their heels. So they'll get back in action on Saturday at high noon with a chance to improve on them standings.
I think right. I can say that our women probably won't have 14 points at half no more this year. I probably, right. you know, I can probably say that to a 99.9% fact. Hey, Wild Wayne, let me ask you something. How do you think it's good having only 8 teams going to the tournament? What's your thought on that?
I do not like 8 teams going to the tournament. I didn't like it when it was a 10-team league. I thought all 10 teams should have gone. With this 12-team setup, what I'm in favor of, I think what the MAC conference, Mid-American Conference, they do very well with their 12 schools is they have they give the top four teams a bye. And then what they do is they play on-campus games with seeds 5 through 12. And then the winners, they all make it to Cleveland, and they start the quarterfinals in Cleveland. So okay. they have a first round on campus early in the week, and then they start in Cleveland with the quarterfinals for a three-day tournament. Yeah. So that's what I think would be the ideal setup. And then the other thing I want to add, it's funny, I said this to my wife last night, and you guys know we were victim to this last year. Remember that Texas Southern upset Alcorn on the first mm-hmm. on the first night, remember? Right. Yeah. And then they got this whole second day off. A&M yeah. had the late game on the second night. And then turn around had the second game of the day session correct. Against Texas Southern, who had a whole yep. day off.
Right.
Now,
right,
I get it that you have the men's and the women's tournament kind of going on at the same time. And I know that, you know, the SWAC doesn't have the deepest of pockets. I understand that. But somehow, some way, if you're not going to add more teams, you got to do something about that schedule.
Correct.
Because I thought it was highly unfair that we had less than 24 hours and we're back on the court against a team that was fully rested.
Right.
Yeah, that's a good point, because I definitely agree, because if you look at the men and women's, the women game, it's top heavy. But the men, hey, really, you know, anybody in the top 10 probably can get lucky and can run the table, just from what I've seen from the men playing. And like you said, you know, it needs to be some consideration of those teams not having to play late at night and turn around and play back the next morning. It ought to be some way set up to, you know, but that's hard to do.
Yeah, because hey. I was there at that game when they played Southern. I mean, it was a great game. I mean, we put a lot into it. But the first thing I said, I remember telling Dr. Bryant, I said, man, this was wonderful that we won. I said, but man, I said, how much energy are we going to have at 2:30?
Yeah.
I looked at my watch. We walked off the floor at 10:40, and we were back on the court at 2:30 the next day. Go ahead, T.
Also, of course, the scheduling has to change. You don't want anybody to be in the seat that we are. But if you go in as a higher seat, you get a better schedule. So, you know,
that's true. But I think we were
in that spot, though. It is.
We were 5 last year. We played that 4 or 5 game.
Yeah. If you still need to change, though, man, because that is a lot to ask anyone to do. They don't do that in the NCAA tournament that has 64 teams. So I'm pretty sure we can figure it out with just 8.
Yeah. And then last but not least, so Saturday. 12 noon for the men, for the women, 2:30 for the men. Think pink game. All right. So everybody that's coming out, make sure you wear some shade of pink. And then on Monday night, the all decades party. dust off that outfit and show up against UAPB on Monday night.
I think I'm gonna bring out my FUBU shirt. For my Nietzsche.
Oh wow. Okay.
Well, I can tell you this, man. It's gonna be a real challenge for the women on Monday night, because UAPB, they lost yesterday. Their women, it's gonna be a tough challenge for them. Mm-hmm. But you know, we'll see. Yeah, as y'all can see,
we normally play. We step up at home. That's something about our teams. We step up at home, you know, Saturday against Valley is must wins for both teams. You know, mm-hmm. you cannot drop that. If you drop that, you might as well cancel the season. Just simple.
Right.
Yep.
Right. Just pack it up.
Yeah. So the men, shout out to the men. The men, they did what they needed to do. They split on that road trip. So they won both. They swept at home against the Florida schools. And then they split against the two best teams in the league on the road. So that gave them a chance to, you know, continue to keep that momentum. So we'll see. Everybody just continue to keep supporting and show up and show out.
Yep. Yep.
All right. So our first guest tonight, ladies and gentlemen, as we keep with the basketball theme, he hails from Shreveport, Louisiana. He just got a chance to play in his home state over this weekend. He is number 10 in your program, a 6'3" guard, sophomore. AC Bryant, let's welcome him, ladies and gentlemen. AC, what's up, my brother? How you doing?
What's good? How you doing? I like that intro. I ain't gonna lie. I feel like I'm coming out of the starting lineup.
Hey, man. Hey, you know, he hails from Shreveport, Louisiana. So
right. There you go.
So, man, speaking about Louisiana, you got to play in your home state this weekend. How was that, my brother?
It's been a minute. I ain't played in my home state in about 3 years. It felt good to see everybody's faces, to come watch me play, know I got the good support system, to be able to play at Division I level at that, not only play in front of my family at home. So that was a big type of change for me to realize that. So I'm grateful for that.
Yeah, and before the guys get into the questions, so just this year, this season, like I just went over the standings. You guys have been playing pretty good ball here lately. Yes, you know, sir. I know you guys went through a little bit of a rough patch where you lost 5 straight, but now you've won 3 or 4. Now you're getting back in this mix now. Right. All right, so walking off the floor last night after you beat Grambling,
mm-hmm.
Coach Hewley says what?
In the locker room, he just kept encouraging us how we – even when we had them 5-game losing streaks, he always said we was like the SWAC champs, and we always listened to it and took it in. And for us to be able to play Grambling at home and beat them, that let us know, like, we could compete with any team in the SWAC conference, and we could beat anybody in the SWAC conference as well. So it gave us that, like, that confidence that, like, we still within this race to become a SWAC champ. So that's what we took in from Coach O.
So, AC, not that you guys, pay attention to what fans and supporters say, but one of the frustrations that, you know, fans do, you know, the ear that we get in, you know, the post that we're involved in, people are frustrated in the consistency. Like, we see you guys be the top team, like Grambling last night, but then we'll play against somebody that we should beat on paper, but we come out flat. How do you guys fix that issue in the locker room, and what would you say to those fans that have those thoughts?
Consistency level, we like talk about locker room. We hold each other accountable. I'll say that for sure. We'll try to correct things in practice. But we always know what the fans be saying. We don't really try to pay too much attention to it. We try to stay within our own circle with the coaches and the players to be able to like succeed through. But consistency, that is one thing we do got to work on, but I feel like the only reason why we had this 4-game winning streak or, you know, winning is because we hold each other accountable in practice and we pick each other up when we down, you know, like not get discouraged or of our seed, of our losing, all this, that. So I'll probably say holding each other accountable for us to stay consistent. That's how I say it for sure.
Got it. Well, keep that accountability together with the team so we can keep that consistency going.
Gotcha.
Hey, AC, one of the things that I saw, okay, you all lost your leading scorer in Daylon Smith and, you know, one of the, you know, I would say one of the captains of the team. What did you all do to bounce back from that as a team? What kind of changes and what do y'all do to get it together to really – because I saw one of the things that I saw is a improved defensive thing from some of the, you know, from some of that bench and some of those players. I seen an athletic and a defensive team. Tell me, what do y'all do to pick him up and to come in and execute as a team?
Well, for one, I can't even lie to you. Daylen is an outstanding player. He's an amazing person on and off the court. So for us to lose him, he was like one of our biggest leaders. Like, we all looked up to him. And so what we did was, like I said on the question you asked, we came together and we all basically just told ourselves we got to step up now. Like, we lost a senior who'd been in this league for 4 years, started as a freshman. So that experience is gone. So now everybody got pitch in different types of, like, they talents to be able to come together and win. So I was probably, like, say, like, when we lost Daylen, we all looked at each other like, we really got to come together if we want to really succeed in this, because losing Daylen was tough because he helped us a lot. I can't lie to you.
Well, that's great. I'm glad. I'm pretty sure he's proud of how y'all are just rallying behind him.
Yeah, he is.
So, AC, you guys are, like, you know, halfway through the season. What would you say for the team and you individually? What has been the most challenging part of the season for you guys thus far?
I'll start with me. For me, probably experience. Trying to learn, because I came from JUCO. Now I'm playing Division I, which has been my dream this whole time. So probably adjusting to the game, the schemes of the game, how people play, you know, the physicality. But as a team, probably the most challenging with us was losing non-conference. And we only had one win out non-conference. So we was like, are we really ready for this? But like I said, coming together and holding each other accountable in practice really helped us a lot to be able to say, okay, we could do this, we could win, we just beat the second or the top team in SWAC. So SWAC champs really anybody game now. So like, I feel like that's been the most challenging, us losing, but now we're starting to find our rhythm and starting to come together as a team as a whole. So yeah.
Yeah, and so you just talked about you came from JUCO, all right? And we started off by talking about Shreveport, Louisiana, and Ronald Hunt wanted to just say, what's up, Shreveport, Louisiana? And then he wanted to say, you know, Shreveport, Louisiana, home of Robert Parrish and football great Terry Bradshaw. But coming from Louisiana, man, just talk about, you know, when you started playing basketball coming up, man, when you started playing basketball, like, when did you really know? At what point did you really know, like, hey, I really got something here. I think I can go play in college.
It all started. I mean, I picked up ball when I was three. You know, that's an everyday story for us, you know. But I probably really, when I started taking it serious, when I really wanted to, like, really be the best, I told my brother-in-law in seventh grade, like, I really want to take this serious. Like, I really want to go to the NBA. So, like, after seventh grade, we've just been working and working. But around my senior high school, we had COVID. So, you know, schools weren't really recruiting like that. So, I ain't gonna lie, I didn't know I was gonna get this far dealing with that. But people kept taking chances on me, and I kept succeeding. So, after high school, I went to a prep school, and I won Player of the Year at the prep school. Then the JUCO I was at before here, I was the first person to go Division I out of that school. So I'll probably say, like, my story's always been underachiever. Like, not too many people been, like, taking chances on me. But, like, for the ones who did, I'm grateful for that because it got me where I'm at now. Now Coach O took a chance on me by giving me a scholarship, and I'm very happy and thankful for him giving me a scholarship and taking a chance on me. So probably, like, my work ethic. I work a lot, like, because my junior year going to senior, we had COVID. We didn't think we was going to have a season, but in my opinion, that wasn't going to stop me from working. So I was just working out day and night. No sleep for it, just day and night, just working out. So I'd probably say that being an underachiever, just working hard.
So, AC, if you don't mind me asking, what year were you born?
2003.
You make it to the NBA. You got like a couple more years of eligibility, I assume, right?
Yes, sir.
And there's a guy that got drafted in 2003 by the name LeBron James, and he's right there in front of you, and you got to guard him. Mm-hmm. How's that gonna make you feel? You were born in 03. He's been playing in the league since 2003. Still, he'll be 40-something. Well, how are you going to approach
that situation? He'll be 40 on December 30th.
How are you going to approach that situation?
Well, for me, I'll try to, like, because, like, I keep telling myself, so, like, when I came to Division One, let me tell you this, like, we play Auburn.
Yeah.
Mind you, when you were a kid, you, like, watch teams like that on TV. So now you, like, you on the same stage as these guys. So I'll probably, like, tell myself, like, we do the same thing. We tie our shoes the same way. So coming guarding LeBron James, him being one of the greats, I just can't really look at it that way. I just got to look at it as just another guy trying to destroy me. I can't go for that. You know what I mean?
Right.
You know, yeah. I probably have to just do what I can. I ain't going to lie to you.
LeBron, try your best.
Yeah, there you go. Try my best.
Try your best.
Yeah. Hey, when in doubt, man, reach out and follow them. Just grab them.
Right.
There you
go.
Hey, AC, when I see you play, you know, you to me, you are a combo guard. You play one, you play two, and then if you can shock people, because you're a poke on them too. Mm-hmm. So when you're playing, who do you think you pattern your game after of? And who people compare you to?
Might be comparing me to Russell Westbrook. I can't lie to you how explosive I am, how hard I be dunking, the way I could, like, rebound, defend. So, like, they would be comparing me to Russell Westbrook. I get that comparison a lot. They call me Eastbrook, though. They don't call me Westbrook.
Eastbrook. Okay. Eastbrook. Well, Saturday, I'm going to call you Eastbrook. I'm going to be out there and say Eastbrook.
Yes, sir. I'm going to know that's you.
All right. Well, one of the things that I do see, I'm going to tell you, one thing that I know you can do better than Russell Westbrook. Is shoot from the outside.
Yeah. No, he can't shoot, bro.
So, AC, we like to, you know, when we have the players on, we like to get to know them on a, you know, personal level as well, you know, outside of the game. So I got two quick questions for you. My first question is, what's something that Bulldog Nation wouldn't know about you just by looking at you? Maybe like a hobby or something that you like to do? And then my second question is that I ask all the athletes, is give us your game day ritual. What's your game day ritual? You can start with either one.
So my first one, the first question you asked, no, not to me to know for real, but like in high school, I used to play the instrument. I used to play the drums, the piano. That's like a hidden talent. I played it all. Yeah, I played snare drum. I play all that. So, but
nice.
It's my pregame ritual. Walk in. It's two people that be sitting down. We walk into the locker room. They have, like, they want our signature, so I sign that every time I walk in. I speak to them, give them two fist bumps, and then I'll watch the girls' game for a little bit. Then I go get my ankles taped. This is just a daily routine, so I'm just giving you the list and rundown. Then I go to the locker room, then I put my headphones on. I just cancel everything out and just focus and locked in. Just stay the course of what I need to do. Don't try to do nothing outside of what I'm supposed to do. Just be there for the team. And what song I listen to the most? I don't know if y'all know this song, but like, I don't know why. It just gets me so hyped. But y'all know Chief Keef, like Finito? Y'all know that song?
Yeah, I know Chief Keef.
I play that. AC, we're not that old, brother.
I play that song right before we head out the tunnel, and that just get me hyped every game. Just come out with different energy. So that's my pregame ritual for sure.
Hey, I mentioned, real quick, Wayne, I know you mentioned that you play the drums. Could you jump into March Maroon and White right now and do your thing on any type of drums?
You talking to me?
Yeah.
Oh, for sure. If they need me to, I would.
Got it.
Oh. I would. I'm a little rusty, but I would for sure, yeah.
Got it.
Mr. Wright, a text real quick talking about something. If you need an extra snare player, we got one for you.
We got one on the basketball team.
Got one for you.
All right. So question from my brother OJ. Grew up in Shreveport, Louisiana. What NBA team did you root for growing up?
Ooh. Man. Watching a lot. Just cause like when I was younger, growing up, I'd probably say Dwayne Wade in the Heat. Like, Dwayne Wade was, like, a big inspiration for me because his size, his athleticism, and then he played alongside LeBron James. I'll never forget when I was young, I used to grab a marker and just scribble on me, like saying I wanted to be like LeBron because he had tattoos. My mom didn't like that though. She used to, she didn't like the tattoos and all that stuff. But Dwayne Wade in the Miami Heat for sure, growing up for sure.
That's what's up, man. Yeah. So, so I got two things for you. We'll get you out of here on this. First off, I want your PSA and just your thoughts about mental health and then just your approach to mental health. That's the first thing.
Mm-hmm. I take mental health very seriously. I feel like it's a big deal nowadays in this age and time because it's a lot just happening for college and below. You know what I'm saying? Like, you got student athletes trying to maintain their grades, trying to do their best in their, whatever sport they play, still trying to socialize. Like, that's a lot on a student athlete, I'll say for sure. And if you take your classes serious, I know that's like another, because I take my classes serious. So that's just another part of on your mental health every day as well. So, like, I'll check in with my teammates every day to see if they good, because I know, like, depression is a real thing out here. And you can never know, like, some people have the big smiles on their face, and you would never know they're going through something. So I try to check in with my teammates every day because I know mental health is real for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And then now kind of kicking into some of the cool things, some funny things before we let you go. Mm-hmm. The next one is, I want your best Coach Otis Hughley impression.
Oh, man. Oh, my gosh. He always come to me, though, like, he always telling me I got to defend better. He always be like, so he be like, we walk in and say we at the airport, right? We just get off the flight. We finna get our bags. I'm sitting down, my headphones on. He'll walk over to me and be like this. He'll tap me. Say, hey, man, you gotta play better defense, man. You're not guarding nobody, man. Like, you know how he be talking to something like that. And then all he talks about is basketball. So, like, he'd be like, I love y'all. I treat y'all with respect. I just want y'all to be the best y'all could be. But y'all got to play some defense. Y'all not playing no defense. He's so big on defense. He will always bring up us not playing defense. I can say that for sure.
Hold on, man. Hold on. I got to go with this, y'all. Hold on. All right. So, Coach Hughley, because I know we all seen him. I came and saw y'all when y'all came to my hometown in Cleveland. Uh-huh. And, you know, he got the foot stomp. He got the clap. He got the – he'll come, he'll yell at you, mm-hmm. and then he'll tap you on your head. He always tap you on your head.
Yeah, he do that to me for sure. So, look, boom, right? I fan you, right? I'm guarding. I got the clip. It's funny. I'm guarding three people in one possession. Then they scored on the shot clock. Cool. He clapping. How does he beat you? I'm walking over there. I explained to him what happened. And then he said, oh, okay. And then smacked me in the back of the head. My head leaning forward. I said, all right, cool, my bad. You know what I'm saying? So he does that. But he always try to make sure, like, you feel loved and welcome, too. I can say that for sure. No matter, like, how hard he get on to you, he always going to make you feel loved. So I can say that, yeah.
Bet, man. Yeah. Bet.
Hey, AC, I got one more. Hey, pound for pound, who is the best player on the team? I'm putting you on the spot.
You on the spot.
And then who think they the best player on the team?
I think I'm the best player on the team. I just sometimes, you know, it's just not my time for y'all to see. If you think about it, look who's in front of me, right?
Right.
Daylon Smith. I can't lie. Like, Daylon Smith, just the work he put in, me and him, we decided to stay over the summer this year. Just working out, like waking up at 3 a.m, going to the gym, working out, lifting weights, working out again, and then doing some car. Like, we was just working out all day, all night in the summertime. So, like, that's what I picked up on him, his work ethic. Like, he got that, to be honest, that Kobe, like, workout method. Like, he's always in the gym with Daylon. So, I picked up on that for sure. So, I can say that. But next year, though, if y'all ask me that same question, next year it's going to be me.
So right, so, now, so, I got, so this is what Edwin Moore said. He said, me, so watch you. And then John Richardson said, man, I love it when you come in the game. You bring intensity.
Oh, yeah. Oh, intensity is a big thing for me. Like, I feel like your approach to the game means so much. Like, your team could be down. Like, things might not go way that they supposed to. But, like, if you look past all that, you just bring that good intensity on both ends of the floor. It's just exciting to watch. You don't know what could happen. You know, that's why I try to approach the game too. Whenever I check in, whenever the opportunity I bring.
Yeah, and then I gotta let him ask you this question: who's the funniest player on the team?
Man, we got a couple of them. I ain't gonna lie, I'm one of them for sure. Like me, it'd be me, London. Who else be having some funny moments? It'd be me, London. Who else? Dylan be having some moments too. I can't lie, Dylan be having some moments. Dylan McClain. I say EJ Williams funny too. Y'all just gotta catch him on the right day. He funny too. y'all don't know. Dalen probably don't like look like he talk a lot, but Dalen funny too.
Yeah. We had Dalen on here last year, he was talking
some sneaky jokes. You just gotta catch him. You know, he be trying to be quiet, but the whole time he funny too. And I'll probably say Cam Tucker too. He's something else. He an old head. Like, he an old head. He might still be in college, but like, he played like in 1850. Like, he's old. Like, he's an old head. I can't lie to you. He's an old head.
You got that old soul.
Like, yeah. That's exactly what it is.
Hey, man, this has been great, my brother. So, man, lastly, man, just talk to Bulldog Nation, man. Tell them what they can expect to see, you know, the rest of the season, and then, you know, anything else you want to say to Bulldog Nation on behalf of men's basketball.
One thing for sure I want to say, I just want to appreciate the Bulldog Nation for supporting us, because I know we ain't really bringing what we supposed to bring to the table coming in, but for them still sticking out and watching our games, supporting us really mean a lot to me and my team. But for us to continue our season, we're gonna shock some teams this coming around, because we on the groove now, especially Saturday. I think Saturday is probably going to be our statement game, and Monday too. Monday, Palm Bluff been beating some teams. Like, they beat Texas Southern, and we lost to Texas Southern. But we beat them. We beat Palm Bluff already, but they at home now, so you know it's different when you come to Bulldogs. So I'll probably say, just be on the lookout for us. We on the come up for real. And we just getting started, in my opinion. We coming. Trust. We coming. But I appreciate y'all for supporting us, for sure.
Yeah, man. We appreciate you for coming on.
Keep that confidence and accountability. That's what we love. Confidence and accountability.
Yeah. Yep. No excuses.
And make sure you keep playing defense, son.
There you go.
Defense.
All right. So he's AC Bryan, everybody, number 10 in your program, sophomore guard from Shreveport, Louisiana. Thanks for joining us, brother.
Thank you for having me. Good luck to you. Appreciate it.
All right. AC Bryant, y'all.
Popping his head again.
Yeah. And we'll be right back. Just quick message, and we'll be right back.
These lines is way too long. You need to cut it.
Right. Shout out to Cut the Line, partner of the show. And man, great times, man. Yeah, I agree with you, Roderick Hudson. It was a lot of fun. AC Bryant, man.
Yep.
Looking forward to seeing what they can do in the second half, man.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. John Richardson. Go ahead and enlighten the people, Corey, about Smith.
Well, we don't talk about injuries. He's just, he got injured early, so we don't know what his status is. But right now, the team has stepped up, and I'm in his absence, and is coming through. Hey,
right.
So hey, we just praying for him. Whatever injury or status he had, we praying for him and wishing him the best.
Yeah, nothing official has been reported, as far as we know. So, hey, next man up. That's what they always say, right?
Absolutely. And for those that are just joining us, make sure you hit that like button. And then also across the bottom of the screen, you can see we've got a very busy schedule of sports. Every single spring sport, along with the winter sports, are all in session. Everything. Yep. Men's baseball, they kick off on Friday. They'll be the last ones to get started. But golf, tennis, all of it, bowling, mm-hmm. track, it's all going. So everything across the bottom. All right. So our next guest this evening, he is a very loyal, very faithful former Bulldog running back coach. Just recently, he was named the head coach of Hazel Green High School, right there in Huntsville, Alabama. T. Gooden knows this gentleman very, very well. So it gives us great pleasure to bring on the very wonderful and esteemed coach, Fred Ferrier. Welcome. And you got to take yourself off mute while we're welcoming you.
You got yourself on mute, coach. There you go.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We got you now. So, coach, You've ascended now from Huntsville. You decided to keep the Huntsville roots, and now you are assuming the head post at Hazel Green High School. So I just kind of want to start there because I know we're going to talk a lot about your A&M experience, but talk about the decision to take the Hazel Green job and talk about just early on how you've been able to, what you've experienced so far in the job.
Absolutely. It's been a little bit of a whirlwind, making the transition from coaching in college football, having some experience in professional football during my career and making the transition to high school. You know, at the end of the day, I'm still doing the same thing. The age group is just a little bit different. But as I got to a point where it was time to make a change, at A&M, I had a really good 5 years at A&M. We got a chance to win a championship and I made some really, really great friendships during my time and felt like I did some really great things on the hill while I was there and enjoyed my time. But when it was time to figure out what to do next, I like this area. Huntsville has been a fantastic place. The people are great, close to a lot of different places. And some people had kind of put my name out there for some head high school jobs. And, I was a little bit hesitant. If you know me as a coach, I'm an aggressive guy. And I've always been a little bit fearful for how I would handle parents in high school. You don't have to deal with parents as much in college. I can just kind of get into our kids and push and drive and motivate them. And in college, when the parents bring their kids, we say, hey, drop them off. When they call home to complain, hang up on them. Tell them, go deal with your coach. Don't come back. Don't come pick them up. Leave them alone. We got them. And, so we with those kids, at a minimum in the beginning, 3 or 4 months. Well, in high school, the kids go home and complain every night. So, my first couple of meetings, I told the parents, I said, hey, the kids ain't going to like everything that transpires as we make this change, in culture and mindset. So just believe in me, trust in me and give me an opportunity, to coach your child and help them become a better young man, teach them how to become a champion and get them prepared for whatever is next. But I had a chance to interview for the job, visited with the principal, Dr. Hedden, and the athletic director, Mr. Jackson. And the interview was scheduled for about an hour, and we ended up talking about 3 hours and 15 minutes that very first day. So, they got a chance to kind of pick my brain. I got a chance to lay out a vision and lay out a plan. And really, that kind of set the foundation. And after I came out of that interview, Dr. Hedden and Mr. Jackson were like, hey, well, we're going to interview 4 or 5 more people. And, you know, we'll get back to you in the next week or so. And kind of in that time, if you know my background, this is a big Alabama area. So everybody loved Coach Saban. Well, I spent 2 years with Coach Saban. So during that time of leaving that interview, waiting for the call back for the second part of it, I found a way to slip him a nice little recommendation letter that I had from Coach Saban, you know, from the University of Alabama. And that kind of tilted the scales a little bit. You know, where, you get a recommendation in there from the greatest coach of all time. And, you know, that gave me an opportunity, and they ended up calling me back, and I was fortunate enough for them to offer me the position and have a chance to lead this program. So it's been exciting, a lot of meetings, a lot of trying to get caught up to speed, learning and meeting our players, learning and meeting our parents. I've had meetings with community partners, you know, banks. Today I had a meeting with a big sponsor who's going to sponsor a big wing fest that we do. We're going to do here in April, which will be sponsored by Zaxby's. Mm. And just meeting with community partners and trying to find a way. Really, a big part of coaching in high school is fundraising and finding ways to manage and run your program. So that's kind of my forte. You know, my college undergrad degree is I double majored in economics and accounting, and I was in corporate America before I got into coaching. So business deals and raising money and cultivating relationships is one of my strengths. So I've been able to hit the ground running, get into a bunch of these meetings, try to pull in some new sponsors and community partners, and, you know, trying to win the parents over, trying to win the kids over, you know, in the process as well, trying to hire a coaching staff and evaluate the guys who are here. So there's a myriad of things going on all at once. And, you know, it's high school, but most days I'm in this place, man, till about 10, 11 o'clock. Last night I was here till 11 o'clock. You know, school is out at 3:30, but we got a job to do. We got a lot of work to do, and we're going to dig in and try to find a way to get it done.
What's up, Coach, man? Glad you made it, man. So you do have a tough job ahead. The past couple of two or three seasons at Hazel Green have not been good seasons for the school. How are you going to go in and, you know, give the kids confidence and, you know, the parents and the teachers that Fred T. Ferry is gonna bring a winning attitude to Hazel Green High School?
You know, that's a great question. And, you know, I think that's probably every coaching change in America, especially when you have a program that has not experienced success. That's kind of the million-dollar question. And, you know, that's the exciting part of it, T. Gooden, man. Having a chance to come in here and see these kids who really want to be coached, kids who want to win games, kids who don't want to be viewed as the worst team in the region or the worst team in the area. They want to figure out how to become a dominant football team. They want to figure out how to become a dominant player. And to be able to be in a position to be the catalyst that changes the mindset and changes the culture is really why I coach. You know, as a coach, you're really a change agent. In most instances, you're going into an environment that has not experienced a whole lot of success. And you got to find a way to rejuvenate the players, their excitement level, their level of preparation, their from a physical standpoint and a mental standpoint. You got to get the administration excited about putting money into your program. And then you got to rejuvenate a fan base. A lot of times that's tired of being, you know, the floor mat, you know, of a region or a league or whatever division you're in. So, you know, that's an exciting time. You know, I've had already two or three meetings with parents. You know, I got a communication device. You know, in college, we have some systems called Teamworks and ARMS where we can communicate with the players. And, you know, at this level, we got different apps, and I send a nice little note and message to the parents every morning, something motivational, giving them a little bit of an idea of what we're doing, what's going on. You know, when I walked in the door and I took the job over, you know, when I was at A&M, and I told people this all the time about working at A&M, every day when I turned off Meridian onto the street that takes me to the stadium right there, I think it's Holloway, right there by the Knight Center, and you pull up on the stadium and you got this nice, big, beautiful stadium right in front of you and the big scoreboard was right there. Like, I got excited every single day pulling into the stadium to go to work, you know, and it makes it to where it's not even work. And here at Hazel Green, after they have had so many down seasons and coming off of 0-10 season, I got to find a way to get these kids excited about walking into the football field house every day. So my number one task is to kind of clean up the field house, get the carpets clean, change the signs around, put a fresh coat of paint on it. And one of the first things I did was I got with the parents and I said, hey, I need some cleaning supplies because we got to clean this place up. I need some vacuum cleaners. I need some Swiffers so we can get the spider webs out of here. You know, we're going to clean up the bathrooms. We know we got a maintenance team, but this place should smell and look pristine every time our kids walk in the building because there's a lot of work that's got to be done in this building. So, you know, in my first week, man, I've been at Sam's Club and I've been at Walmart buying vacuum cleaners and Swiffers and Pine Sol and gloves and we getting ready to roll our sleeves up and make this place, man, something where our kids can get excited. Today was one of the first days I got the little smell good machines spraying out the Smith scents and all that kind of stuff. And the kids walked in the locker room today and they were like, man, coach, what you doing here? You know, and I said, hey, man, we got to create a place that y'all going to be excited about. I said, it smell good, don't it? And they said, yeah, you know, I got a little mango for them in there. You know, they had that thing in the locker room. I'm working on the feng shui up in here, man, trying to create these kids. So, you know, it's been fun. You know, it's a little bit different. But at the end of the day, man, I'm a change agent trying to create some excitement, trying to change a belief system, trying to teach kids. You know, our thing, there's a couple things that, you know, we started on day one. My very first deal, I said, we're going to change the mindset. We're going to create a new normal. We're going to make excellence the expectation. And to do that, it's like, you know, out here in the Hazel Green area, if you ever been out here, it's a lot of farms and it's a lot of land. And every year, even on A&M's campus in the community gardens, they'll plant those crops. They'll harvest the crops in those lands, those areas, those community gardens. They sit bare for a while. And when it's time to get ready for the next harvest and the next crop, they send them tractors out there with the cultivators and they dig that dirt up. They flip the dirt. They get the dirt ready to be reseeded and moisture and watered and get ready to grow. And for us right now, the land has been barren for a while. The harvest has been gone. The harvest has been taken up and these lands out here have been sitting barren. And we getting ready to flip the dirt, man. We getting ready to put them cultivators in there. We getting ready to drag the tractors. And we're going to flip the dirt out here. We're going to plant the seeds. We're going to water the seeds. And when we get to September, when it's time for us to play Huntsville High, it'll be ready to see what the harvest is like. You'll see the work that we put in. But right now, the start of that process, we flipping the dirt. And I got these kids digging in when I come in. And I'm on a mission, too. You know, I'm going to get into a, you know, similar to what I did at A&M, you know, I did the TikTok stuff and we went on a health challenge and I challenged people to lose weight and I was making TikTok videos. We're going to do the same thing out here, man. We're going to get ready for the season. I'm asking our players to dig in and do more and to flip the dirt and to make excellence the expectation and to do all those things that I'm asking them to do to change their mindset, to put them in a position where they can compete consistently at a high level. I'm going to lose some weight. I'm going to get in here and I'm going to challenge myself to lose 25 pounds. And we're going to start a parent group that's going to work out, you know, a couple days a week. And we're going to do this thing together. It's really going to be a community effort. And the fruits of our labor will come forth when, you know, when we play those first games and we get into the season. And I can guarantee you one thing. We will be a different team when we play this year than they were last year. We'll compete. We'll play hard. We'll have a chance to make some plays. And we'll give ourselves a chance to win some of these games. You know, I'm not going to sit here and tell you we're going to go 10-0, we're going to win a state championship, but I guarantee you we'll be a well-coached, disciplined, fundamental football team that's going to play hard for the 48 minutes in a high school football game. We're not going to have a lot of pre-snap penalties. You know, our kids will understand situational football. They'll be in good positions. We're going to teach them how to tackle. We're going to teach them how to run. We're going to teach them how to catch. And hopefully we can find a way to score one more point than the other team. And I know that was a whole lot in a short period of time. I spit it out real fast. Like,
hey,
It's 150 dudes ready to play right now. They ready right. to scoot it up.
I got a vision. I got a vision. I know what it is, and now it's just putting the pieces in place and getting out here, finding some community partners to help us with some sponsorships and finding some people like T. Gooden and some of y'all. I'm going to expect to see y'all at some games, man, out here.
Most definitely.
And got your Trojan T-shirts on and your Trojan rally tile and your Trojan, you know, fight tile and all that stuff, man. We're gonna create an exciting environment on Friday nights. We're going to have some tailgating out here. You know, we're going to get some different community partners involved. It's going to be a really good deal. I'm excited about it. And I think our community is going to be very happy with the product that we put on the field.
Yes, sir.
Hey, Coach Faria. Hey, we definitely going to support you. One of the things this ain't your first rodeo. You've been a coach, a head coach. You've been a position coach on different levels. And you also handle recruiting. Okay. What I want to ask, since you've been a recruiting coordinator on the college level, you've been experienced with recruiting. Now, you on the high school level, you have guys who have aspirations to play at the next level. Tell me, how do you translate that on the high school level, since you've had that experience on the college level? What do you do on the high school level recruiting, since you got so much experience with your college level?
I think initially the beginning of that program, the beginning of that process is to just educate the kids and the parents about what the NCAA is, what the NCAA Eligibility Center is, and what it takes for you to be eligible. The next part is I got to be able to hire staff, including myself, who are going to teach these kids the proper techniques and fundamentals to play whatever position it is that they're playing. We're going to teach them football IQ, how to make good decisions, what to expect in certain situations. And, you know, what my plan is our kids who really want to have an opportunity to play college football, you know, early on when they come here as ninth graders, when they get into their 10th grade year, going into their 11th grade year, we'll sit down and we'll have individual meetings with them and their parents. And we'll say, hey, what type of schools are you interested in? Now, obviously, everybody's going to pick Power 5 schools, you know, but that kid that's 5'10", 235 pounds that play offensive guard, he can't play offensive guard at the University of Alabama. He can't play offensive guard at Alabama A&M. You know, so we got to put some realistic goals in front of him. The thing I will say is that the young man who wants to play college football, there is a place for them to play. It may be at the Division II level. It may be at the Division I FCS level. It may be at the Division III level. It may be at the NAIA level. A kid may need a few more years of development, so they may go the junior college route, get an opportunity to play some really competitive football. And the kid who hasn't played a whole bunch of football, he may go to a prep school for a semester or two semesters to just get those extra games under their belt. So, you know, we got connections. We've got a great prep school right here in Huntsville, you know, Tennessee Valley Prep. And, you know, so we've got avenues to get them in prep school. We've got avenues to get them in junior college. We've got avenues. Send them Division III, Division II, you know, all the way up to the Power 5 places. The Power 5 schools, they're going to find those kids no matter where they are. And it'll be my job to do my best to make sure that those young men are prepared to be able to compete and perform at whatever level that they go to. Number one, from a social standpoint, when it's time for them to be on time, to wear the right clothes, to go to class, to be able to take notes, to be able to process and understand where they're supposed to be on time in the football building, to go in the weight room and work hard, and then to go be able to take all that stuff to the field. You know, I've been on the back end to where I'm receiving kids when they come from high school. So I've got to figure out where they are in their development. Okay, is this a kid that I can focus in on football stuff because he has some of those other intangibles? Or is this a kid that I got to teach him how to pull his pants up and how to be on time and how to go to class? So now I feel like it's going to be my job to prepare that 18-year-old young man to get him ready for that next step, whether it's going to play college football, and that'll be a big part of it. But I also have a group of young men that I have an obligation to that may choose to just simply go into the workforce, and they may choose to go into the military, and I have to prepare those young men for those same steps the same way I am a young man who's going to the University of Alabama. And I get a platform and I get, you know, the structure. I get to create study halls. I'm already having team meetings in the library and You know, I took my team in the library the other day. The librarian, Miss Hogan, and the other librarian, they were gracious enough to let us come in here. And I took my team in there, and we done broke two or three chairs in there because they sit in those chairs. So, you know, we're gonna utilize technology. We're gonna have team meetings. All my team meetings are ran with PowerPoint. So, you know, I've been here a week. We done already had three team meetings. I got a team meeting scheduled for Thursday. I got a team meeting scheduled for next Tuesday. This team will adopt and take on my mentality. They will be a straightforward, hard-nosed, physical football team that's going to compete for four quarters and be in a position to make a play at the end of the game. Now, somebody got to step up and make that play. I can't do that for them, but we're going to do our best to put them in a position and to create a structure that will put them in a position to compete at their highest level, you know, on a consistent basis. So, you know, even at the high school level, it's all about teaching. I had a meeting with our coaches yesterday, and I said at the heart of it, I'm a teacher. I'm teaching young men how to create a goal, how to develop a plan to achieve that goal, and how to develop and maintain the discipline and the willpower to stick to your plan so that you can ultimately get to your goal. And right now I'm just doing that with 13 to 17-year-olds, 13 to 18-year-olds, and I have to educate them on the process of going to college to play college football, and then give them the tools and the steps necessary to get them to where they can be recruited and they can have a chance to go have a very highly productive and successful career that really prepares them for the rest of their life.
Awesome. Awesome.
Congratulations to you, Coach, on the head coach position. I'm not in Alabama, but you got my full support here in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Yes, sir.
So, you know, kudos to you. So I wanted to ask a little bit, I guess, of a piggyback off of Corey's question. So you mentioned, you know, running back coach and recruiting coordinator, which were two positions you held at the same time here at A&M, and that we see, you know, in a lot of HBCUs, coaches holding two positions. How did you juggle being a running back coach and the recruiting coordinator for the university? And I ask that because a coach itself is a tough job, but then you have the recruiting portion, especially with social media now. You put a post, and I do follow you on Twitter, you put a post about, you know, whatever the school might be having, and then you have 30 posts from high school kids with their, you know, links to their highlights. They want you to contact them, got their phone numbers and emails. So how do you juggle all of that?
The reality of it is that, you know, football, especially at the college level, Alabama A&M is Division I, it has evolved into a 12-month-a-year job. It is not really a job that, you know, it's not a 9-to-5. You know, you're going to, you know, we practice early in the morning. So, you know, in most instances, we walking in the door at 4:30, 4:45 in the morning, you know, for early morning practice. We practice in throughout the daytime. We're having meetings and watching film. And in college football, you'll hear this all the time, but good recruiters have to recruit every day. So you are watching film on your phone or on your laptop or on an iPad. You know, you're walking to take a shower or you're going to the bathroom and you got your phone in your hand and you're watching the recruit film. Now, I tell recruits this all the time. You know, a recruit's film, his highlight film, has about 45 seconds, about five plays to show me that I want to keep watching this. And I'm going to watch those first 3 to 5 plays. And if it's a skilled offensive player, if the first 3 to 5 plays ain't touchdowns, I'm probably going to stop watching that film and just go to the next one. Because in college, you don't need kids who are good players. You need kids who score touchdowns. You need kids who make tackles. You need kids who make sacks. You know, offensively, you need kids who get in the box, not, you know, that kid who showed you this play where he makes five players miss and he breaks a tackle and it's an 18-yard gain. Hey, that's great, but you still got 62 yards to go if you first and 10 starting on the 20. And when you at that moment in time, 77% of those drives still end in a punt. So that 18-yard play where you broke five tackles don't really do a whole lot for me at the college level. So we need guys who can make the band play and get in the box and score a touchdown. And defensively, you got to find a way to get guys who make interceptions, who get sacks. But even when you get off work at nighttime, you're going in your office to watch film. For me, I might get home at 9, 10, 11 o'clock. I probably got a little bit of work to do game planning wise because I was also doing special teams. And then really most days, real talk, most days between 10 o'clock at night and 1 o'clock in the morning, I was on Twitter answering calls and text messages and watching film from kids on Twitter, not keeping the kids up late because they got to go to school, but communicating with kids who are out on the West Coast, who it's 10 o'clock for me, but it's 7 o'clock for them, or it's 8 o'clock for them. And I'm up communicating with them till 12:30, 1 o'clock in the morning. Well, it's only 10 o'clock for them. So I'm recruiting East Coast kids, you know, up until 8, 9 o'clock. And then I'm recruiting West Coast kids, kids out in Texas or California or Nevada, Las Vegas. And I'm recruiting those kids till midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning. I'm taking me a quick nap. You know, you get to a point where, you know, 4, sometimes 5 hours is really all the sleep that you get. And you get into that mode, you know, and highly successful people, no matter what they do, whether they're a football coach or not, they really don't sleep a whole lot. You hear stories about Bill Gates and all these people, Warren Buffett. Oh, I sleep 3 hours a night. I sleep 2 hours a night. I can't hardly sleep because my mind is focused on the task at hand. So, you know, you get into your rhythm, but you know, at the end of the day, good recruiters recruit every day. And the true function of being a recruiting coordinator, because all your coaches recruit, the recruiting coordinator is also the person who's responsible for the main administrative functions that encapsulate recruiting, that pull it all together. The coordination of recruiting events, the coordination of mailings, or the system of how you evaluate players, and you're making sure that everybody does their step along in the evaluation process, from the position coach to the coordinator to the head coach to the special teams guy, that everybody sees the film, makes their input, does their ratings, and then we all agree that this is a young man that we should offer. But it's just part of the deal. I've been kind of in a management leadership position for a really long time during my career. So having been a head coach for almost 8 years of my career, and as a head coach, you're responsible for all 130 kids. You're responsible for all 14 coaches, the 10 full-time coaches and the 4 GAs. You're responsible for all your auxiliary services, the trainers, the equipment people, the managers, the filmers, the social media people. They're all walking in your door throughout the course of the day with their issues and their problems. Hey, coach, how do I fix this? And to be in a position, and this should sound funny, to be in a position where I was at A&M, and I really loved my job at A&M, but to only have to coach one person who's on the field at a time, sometimes two, I got a total of 8, maybe 10 kids, and I'm doing the recruiting function, it really was one of the easiest jobs I ever had. Just because what I was required to do was so much less in volume of what I had done as a head coach. Now, it was challenging at times. You got to find a way to get stuff done. But from a volume standpoint, that was a really, really, really manageable workload for me of what I did at A&M. And I think that's one of the reasons why I was kind of able to thrive and do some things that were a little bit different and be able to think outside of the box and stuff like that.
Nice. Well, I know. I think we were about to. Wayne's about to wrap up, but before we wrap it up, man, I just want to appreciate the time that you were at A&M. I came to know you by being around the football program. Cool guy, turned out to be a good friend, man. Me and Frager text all the time. I see him. We kick it. We all that stuff. So I appreciate it. And another thing too, man. Like a lot of coaches that leave programs for whatever reason, they kind of, you know, like the position may disrupt, but we still got our stable there that we had when you were there. And that's a testament to what you instilled in them. You're here for the team, not the position coach. And, you know, just knowing and talking to you, you didn't put that in anybody's head. Like, hey, I'm gone, so don't stay here. So I really do appreciate that, being an alum. And we still have our core team. I know you'll be paying attention to A&M football. We'll be paying attention to Hazel Green. I told you, sign me up for a volunteer coach.
Hey,
I can't give you 40 hours, but I can give you a few.
And I need every minute. I need every minute. I need all the help I can get.
I'll definitely help you, man.
We got
We got a big event coming out here in the spring, Wing Fest, sponsored by Zaxby's. I'm gonna need all y'all help with that. Help me sell some tickets and get some folks out here to Wing Fest, Hazel Green Wing Fest, April 27th.
I got you.
Hey, T. Gooden said it best, man. Coach Ferrier, like Dave, I'm here in Ohio, but you know, Hazel Green, you know, is a high school that I heard a lot about from my mom, because my mom grew up down there. So she talked about Hazel Green, you know, talking about how everything was. And, you know, man, also just the work that you did. I echo what T. Gooden said. The work that you did at A&M was truly yeoman's work. And sometimes we know coaching can be a thankless job, because you look at wins and losses, and when the wins are going, they tend to give the credit to the players. And when the losses are there, they like to throw it on the coaches. But, you know, man, I wish you nothing but the best at Hazel Green. I have absolutely no doubt that unequivocally you will turn that program around immediately. You guys will win games. I ain't saying win a game. You will win games this year, because what you just did over the course of a half an hour, the stuff that you said, ladies and gentlemen, if you are not motivated to play for Fred Ferrier, I don't know what else is wrong with you. Because what he just said, the things about the intangibles,
right,
about taking care of your sons and making sure he brings a community together, these are the lost arts of coaching. I know wins and losses are what you guys want to talk about, but I am so thankful that you said this. And everybody, support Hazel Green High School, support Fred Ferrier. My brother, thank you for coming out with us tonight, and we will definitely have to catch up with you again.
Yes, sir.
I definitely appreciate it. Now, are you in Cleveland?
I'm in Columbus, but I am from Cleveland.
I got you. I'm from Cleveland as well. I'll be in Cleveland in a couple of weeks, man.
Okay, yeah.
We got to catch up at some point in time anyway, though.
That's what's up, man. All right. Well, that's Coach Fred Ferrier, y'all. We'll see you, man. God bless you.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. That's Coach Ferrier. We'll talk about him in just a second. Here's another commercial. We'll be right back.
Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go.
Hey, man, I love that one. Yes. I know, Dave, you was in your marching band bag on that one. Yeah, I saw that. Hey, and real quick here, just reminder, hey, Valentine's Day is coming, y'all, tomorrow.
Yeah,
love, in love is in the air. So,
lovers and friends.
I remember last year we did the Valentine's Day show.
We did.
You know, Corey and his wife was talking about how Corey didn't pick his wife on his, I think, softball team because he said he didn't want to be on it. Oh, I never forget this story.
Hey, you trying to mess up tomorrow.
My bad. Hey, we'll edit it out.
I remember that voiceover I did, man. I was like, man, I ain't doing, man. We ain't going back to them days.
Right.
Voiceover. No, man. But hey, love is in the air, man. Shout out to my wife, Jacqueline Cartwright, man. You know, she allows me to be able to not just do this show every single week, but also to be able to run around the state of Ohio, officiate and track me. So, you know, Corey's married, and, you know,
yes,
you know, and everybody, shout out to everybody who's married, got your significant others, those that are still figuring it out. It's complicated, you know, hey, you know, but yeah, make sure you get with somebody you love, tomorrow.
And, well, well, since Wayne shout out, you know, I had to shout out my wife, Tamara Williams. You know, hey, I couldn't do what I do without her. And she's the great wife, mother of my two kids, and you know, I'm just thankful and that, hey, I got a support system that who was with me 100%.
Well, since these guys shout out theirs, I don't want to shout out the lady that I don't have right now, but if you're watching, baby, you know what I'm saying? Get me up on Facebook, you know what I'm saying?
Hey.
I'm ready.
Hey, DM got DMs, you know.
Shoot me a DM.
He got that, Diddy, I need a girl.
Right.
Which remix is this one? You know there was like five of them.
Exactly. But shout out to y'all wives though, man. Like y'all have some good wives, man. They met Wayne's wife last year. She was down there kicking in the doghouse at the FAMU game. See Corey's wife at the basketball and football games all the time, man. So y'all got some wives that love the sports, so that's always a plus.
Yeah, man. And so y'all, here's what we got next week. Coming up on the next episode of Up the Hill Podcast, the president of Alabama A&M University, Dr. Daniel K. Wilms, joins us live to take all of your questions and make some special announcements on behalf of the university. Won't you join us live Tuesday, February 20th, 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central. It's fun. It's you. It's us. It's From the Hill Podcast. Yeah, man.
Next week, we got Dr. Wilms.
Next week.
Yes, sir.
It's going down, y'all. Y'all better lock in. Like I said, tell everybody. We want to make sure that everybody gets a chance, because there's going to be some things that are going to be said, some special announcements, and everybody will have a chance. Now, we're not going to be able to get to everybody's questions.
Right.
But everybody will have an opportunity to ask something. So, all right, y'all. Very special show tonight. Shout out once again to our brother AC Bryant, man.
Yep.
Doing big things on the basketball team. Also, shout out to our brother, Coach Fred Ferrier, who joined us, head coach of Hazel Green High School, former running back coach and recruiting coordinator for our Alabama A&M Bulldogs. All right, now, just so everybody is aware, this coming Saturday, I'm going to pull it right back up here, Saturday, 12 noon for the women, 2:30 for the men. I know it's usually evening games on Saturday, but just be apprised, 12 noon start for the ladies, 2:30 for the men. Think pink. Come out with your pink. Cheer on the Bulldogs as we prepare to keep Valley's men winless and Valley's women with just one victory. Yeah.
Wait, and, isn't that an HBCU go game? I think that's the reason the time shifted.
Yes.
I think it is an HBCU go game. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yes, it will be seen on HBCU go. Yes, it will. And also just remember on Monday night, so if you haven't gotten your outfits, you got from now until Monday to get your outfit together for the Decades Party. All right. And then also just remember, as I talked about before, and I'll get to that, make sure you check out on the SWAC Digital Network. You can find it on YouTube. It'll be the SWAC Indoor Track and Field Championship happening also on Saturday and also on Sunday. So you got prelims, sprint prelims, on Saturday, along with distance medley relay final. And then on Sunday, you've got all the finals. So shout out to them. And then also remember, we got softballs in action. Baseball gets started this weekend. So if you have not had a chance, download the Bulldog Sports app. It has all the information, tells you all the start times, tells you if it's televised, tells you all the things where you need to be. Also remember Bulldog All Access. There are five more home games. All right. So with the five home games, if you're like me, you don't live in Alabama, or if you do live in Alabama, but you got a lot of stuff going on and you want to catch the game, you watch it on your phone, you watch it on your digital device, watch it at home on your television, Bulldog All Access gets you a day pass, a week pass, a month pass, and finish the rest of the season. Okay. Gentlemen, this was a wonderful show. Something that we used to do, but I want to do. Corey, final thoughts, my brother.
Hey, awesome show. Hey, I'm just I'm excited about the future of A&M as a school and athletics. And hey, and I think we're headed in the right direction. And, you know, and Coach Ferrier said he got a position for T as a water boy. So that's all good.
T, you got to go right behind that. I know you ain't going to go out like that. Take yourself off mute while you're doing it, though.
You're a good call. I never got caught on mute until tonight. But, yeah, just echoing what Corey said, I'm always happy about the direction that A&M is going, and not only just athletics and school in general. Good having AC on the show, man. Real, real good kid. Glad that he was able to make it tonight. You know, glad to see Coach Ferry on here, you know, still being here in the community and being successful, trying to get those kids going in the right direction. At Hazel Green, like he said, coaches is not just coaching football. It's helping matriculate young men, teenagers to be young men. And we need that as a community for, you know, good adult leaders to help with the young men. And if he needs me to be water boy, I'll make the best water possible.
At Bobby Boucher water.
Right.
Dave, final thoughts.
Yeah, I echo the same things T. Gooden and C.K. Williams said. I just want to also encourage everybody that's in the area to come out and support the men and women's basketball team for the rest of the home games. They need that support there. As plenty of players have always said, you know, they feed off the energy of the crowd. You know, so we need everybody in the stands representing both teams. And don't forget to donate to $5 Friday.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So I'd like to thank everybody that tunes in every single week. It's me, Brand, Chuck Hunt, Demetria, you know, all of y'all. Y'all know who you are. Everybody that tune in every single week, man. Y'all do some big things for us. Right, you know, shout out to our illustrious athletic director, Dr. Paul A. Bryant, the entire staff, Ruben, Brian Howard, Abby. Shout out to all of y'all. You know, because y'all support this program like none other. Like I said, next week, Dr. Williams will be on here. It's going up. So we like to thank y'all for tuning in. And also remember, I'd be remiss if I didn't remember our other two hosts, DT Green, in his busy season with school. Y'all continue to remember him because he worked so hard. And then also Jay the Great out there in the Mardi Gras streets. Mm-hmm. Maybe we see her next week.
Mm-hmm. Right.
All right, so but just David Thomas, Corey CK Williams, T Gooden, I am your man Wild Wayne Cartwright. Thank y'all, God bless, and we will see you next week.